13. We thank you all for attending, and let's stand and open it up with a song. If you'll turn in your hymnals to hymn number 108. Hymn number 108. Let's sing it out on the first.
It may not be o'er the mountain's height, or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle front, my Lord will have need of me. If by a still small voice he calls to pass, I do not know. I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in not. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
As we sing it on the last, really mean it. Will you really go where God wants you to go? Whether it be across the street or across the nation or across the ocean. Wherever God has for you to go, will you go? Let's sing it out on the last.
There's surely somewhere a lonely place in earth's harvest field so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trusting my all unto thy care, I know thou lovest me. I'll do thy will with the heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Amen. I hope you meant that tonight, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you. Well, you can be seated. It's good to see you this evening. It's great to be in the Lord's house. Especially to be here to just deal and hopefully have the Lord deal with us in the subject of missions. We're grateful for the missionaries that are visiting with us and pray that you will please take the time, take the effort to talk to these folks, visit with these folks while they're with us. We'll be hearing from Brother Paul Burbidge here in a little bit about their mission field, and I'm looking forward to that. But I just wanted to share just a couple things. Brother Hudson will be preaching tonight, tomorrow night, Friday night, and Sunday. And I plead with you to be praying for him. And of course, as you're praying for him, that means that it's your heart's desire that God would use him and, of course, the Word of God to deal with us. And, he talks about missions revivals. Well, I'm praying this week that we'll see a revival in missions. For missions and in a mission spirit, even in our church. I'm praying that, folks. I've been praying it, and I'm praying it tonight. that God would just deal with our hearts, and that our souls would just be rekindled with a fire for the honor and the glory of God and for the sake of lost souls to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, I did figure something out here, though. We've got this nice sign here, and I know there was an incident some months ago concerning water, and he's got the water hid back here tonight. No, I know this. He's got a burden on Brother Hudson's heart that we would get the message for ourselves, that we would allow God to speak to us, and what about me? And so you be in prayer about what God is going to be doing in each of us this week. And as we mentioned, Brother Burbidge will be coming in a few minutes to share his ministry, his family's burden for Canada. So please be in prayer for them. I'm thankful that they were going to be in North Texas during this time and we could have them back with us. I know he was here a few years ago. Well, just before Marsh and I came here to Metropolitan, I think within a week or two. And we got to know each other along the way and cross paths in some meetings, and they are precious family. And so you pray for them. But what we're going to do right now is we've got a special. And after these young ladies sing, Brother Burbidge, you just come. And you can give your testimony and your presentation then. So, ladies, if you would come and sing.
Till there is no more night, in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ. Carry the light, carry the light, carry the light, carry the light. Go and tell the children, they are precious in His sight. Till there is no more night, in the name of Jesus Christ, carry the light.
Thank you, girls. I appreciate that. I forgot to do one thing that was on my heart, and that's to open this meeting and prayer for revival, and trust that God will indeed meet with us. And beloved, is Brother Hudson's sign here, you know, what about me? You know, what are we doing to get that light to those that are lost and dying? That's what this week's about. What am I doing? What am I involved in this thing? Am I allowing God to use me to see that work accomplished? Let's go to the throne of prayer. Father, we thank You tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, that You were pleased to give Your Son. Indeed, Father, Your divine messenger, the sent one of all sent ones, the preacher of all preachers. And Father, I ask You in His name for the honor, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, please help us. That self would be out of the way. That even, Father, the hindrances, the obstacles that the world, Satan, and even our own flesh might bring against us would be overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. Lord, we gather not for the pleasure of the lost or this world, but for the honor, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we're praying in these days that You might grant Your Holy Spirit in a very special way. Lord, I sense that we may once again be at a crossroads where we could see You thrust us ahead for Your glory. And Lord, that this preacher and this people might get more excited about Jesus Christ and the gospel than we've ever known in our lives. That indeed, Father, that in these days You would turn up the brightness of the light of the gospel on this hill to a magnitude that is without measure. And Father, indeed, that we would shine the brightest right here. But indeed, that light would shine to the uttermost parts of the earth. Please, Lord, I ask You in these days to raise up preachers. That indeed, we as Metropolitan Baptist Church could be involved in sending them. Oh God, help us. And again, I pray for my brother, Brother Wayne, as he preaches tonight. Please give Brother Hudson the exact word that each of us needs. Tailor, Father, Your word to deal with hearts and lives and doing eternal things, Lord. Father, we love being in a meeting where the preaching's good and the singing and music's wonderful, but I'm praying that You do eternal things, Lord. That You would see Your work go beyond anything that we've known before. We love You, Lord. And of course, we understand that we love You tonight because You first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Bert, would you come?
Good evening, Metropolitan Baptist Church. It is a joy to be with you. And we are the Burbage family. My name is Paul. I'm here with my wife, Sandy. And I'm going to get her to stand. and our daughter Natalie. That's our youngest daughter. Thank you, ladies. And we have two other children, Adam and Brittany, who are getting that age where they're beginning to work and do those kind of things, and they're serving the Lord faithfully back in our home church. We are out of Chagogan Baptist Church in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, Canada. We are Canadians, and we were born and brought up in the Canadian province of Nova Scotia, and by the grace of God, born again in Nova Scotia under the ministry of Chagogan Baptist Church, which we have been members of for in excess of 26 years now by the grace of God. You know, as we think about that, if God gave me what I deserve tonight, I'd be in hell. Not only did He save my soul, but He's given me a little bit of work to do for Him. What a privilege we have to serve God. We're very honored to be with you. Thank you for your hospitality and the gracious invitation to come and be involved in your missions conference. And we're going to look at the video tonight when if the gentlemen have it done up. But we'll look at that. It's about 7 minutes long, and then I'll give you kind of an update of where we are. And as Pastor mentioned, we were here in February of 2011, and it was 1 or 2 weeks before you had officially called your pastor, Pastor Turner. And so we're just very grateful to be back with you and have a number of things. 2.5 years now on deputation, and the Lord has seen fit to bring us to 75%, and we're just rejoicing in that. And He is filling up our calendar with meetings for next year, and so that's a blessing. That's a blessing to see the kind of the light at the end of the tunnel as we go through this area. And Chagogan Baptist Church and ourselves are looking at church planting and called to plant churches as each of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are, and beginning in Nova Scotia and moving out from there as the Lord gives us grace. How are we coming, gentlemen? All right. Canada is a country of 36 million people. It's the second largest country in the world by landmass. And there are some 300 independent Baptist churches across the entire country. Now, the math on that is somewhere around 130,000 people for every independent Baptist church. And of course, we realize that just because it says independent Baptist on the outside just doesn't necessarily mean that it's all Bible on the inside. And so you know what? Canada has a great need. And everywhere we go, there's a great need, isn't there? There's a great need across your backyard fence. There's a great need across the road. There's a great need at your school. There's a great need at your workplace. There's a great need here in North America and around the world. There's always going to be that need. And you know what? Lost people are always going to be lost people. Amen? And they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, as we go, we look at that. Canada has a history of gospel preaching in the past. But we're looking forward to the future and pushing on in the future. The Lord Jesus gives us the pattern that we're following, that is to go and evangelize. That is, preach the gospel, if you can put it in these words, preach the gospel to everybody who will hear. Amen. You gentlemen got it up there now. So the video keeps me from rambling. That's the purpose of a missions video. You know that, don't you? Amen. So if you're ready to play that, gentlemen, go ahead.
The gospel of Jesus Christ was a spiritually dark one. Our world today is in the same spiritual darkness. The love of many has grown cold. Idolatrous religion is abounding as people grasp for some hope and security. And every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. Canada has a history of gospel preaching and has seen the Spirit of God move in her early years. From 1800 to 1880, in the province of Nova Scotia, the number of known Baptists multiplied from 400 to 40,000. However, today a survey of Canada's spiritual landscape will take you through its communities, its towns, and its various cities, where you'll find Roman Catholicism, Protestant denominations like the United Church of Canada, which is ordaining homosexuals to their ministry. Or you might find the new evangelicals who are preaching their entertainment religion. And finally, you'll see many old abandoned Baptist church houses that were once lighthouses, but have long since apostatized. Canada cannot boast to be a bastion of the truth. The country spans 6,000 miles from coast to coast and has a population of 36 million, yet there are only an estimated 200 to 300 independent Baptist churches. And of these, only a small number of them hold to the King James Bible as the preserved, inspired Word of God and are preaching the gospel of repentance for the remission of sins. The darkness that rules in Canada is growing around the entire globe. These are not days of despair, but rather opportunity. We believe that the greater the darkness around us, the greater the impact that our light will have. We must seize the opportunities that are laid before us.
Hello, my name is Paul Burbage. This is my wife, Sandy. We are members of Chagogan Baptist Church in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, Canada. Back in 1987, March, the month of March, just a few rows back here in the church house, I was saved. The Lord convicted me of my sins through the preaching of the Christ and Him crucified. And I came to repent of my sins and believe on Jesus Christ and His shed blood for the forgiveness of my personal sins. My wife was also saved here, weren't you, dear?
Yes, I was saved in October of 1982. Here at Chagogan Baptist Church and special meetings that we were having. And I'd heard gospel preaching many times before, but it wasn't until that week that the Holy Spirit began convicting me of my sin and that I was a sinner in God's eyes and deserving of His judgment and hell. And I came to Him, accepting Him as my Lord and Savior in repentance and faith, and He saved me that night.
Amen. And I'm glad He did. I'm glad He saved me, because we were married in this church house and we brought up our children here. God has also called me to preach, not only just to preach, but to go with the preaching of the gospel. God's called me to be a church planter. Chagogan Baptist Church has recognized that call, and we desire with all our hearts to take the gospel to our people here in Canada. To see churches planted in Nova Scotia and other parts of Canada. And eventually, maybe the Lord will take us other places in the world, but our primary burden is for here in Canada.
The answer to the spiritual darkness that reigns in Canada and in our world is the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that will make the real impact on the spiritual darkness found in people's lives. The fact that men are sinners and in the darkness of sin has not changed, and the answer of the light of the gospel has not changed. Jesus told us that we are the light of the world, and shine we must. Jesus has sent us into this dark world to preach the gospel, baptize in His name, and disciple the converts in the whole counsel of God. According to Acts 13, we could sum up the Great Commission into two words: church planting.
Baptist churches to be planted throughout the world, but especially we have a burden for here. And that burden is from one of our church planters, Paul Burbage and his family. They're going out and they're going to be planting churches. So far, we've been shoulder to shoulder with them in planting those churches, and we want to see him go further afield, doing things like arrows in the hand of a mighty man, going places where we can't. Our feet are locked down into one place. We don't want His to be locked down into one place. We want Him to be able to go out and plant churches in other places. We encourage you to be part of that.
By planting churches Acts 13 style, the exciting principle of multiplication comes into action. In the book of Acts, we see Christians begetting Christians, churches begetting churches, and pastors begetting pastors. We can observe this principle of multiplication in action when we read, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied.
Soul winning means to me obeying God's word, laying up treasure in heaven, and the joy of giving someone else the opportunity that I had.
To me, serving God means serving Him with gladness.
To me, church planting is a very special mission, and we should do it with all our souls, mind, and spirit.
The Burbage family is seeking partners who will support their mobilization to plant churches, first in Canada, and then wherever in the world the Holy Spirit would take them. They are in need of committed prayer warriors. Will you commit to pray weekly for the Burbage family? And possibly, some could pray daily for them. And secondly, the need is for joyful financial supporters for monthly support for their family and their ministry. Thank you for the privilege of presenting the burden of the Burbage family, church planting missionaries to Canada.
Lord has not called me to be a pastor, but rather a New Testament church planter or New Testament evangelist. And that is to go and preach the gospel, and where people, God saves people, people respond to the gospel, and we baptize them and make disciples. Making disciples, just as the Lord Jesus did through intensive mentoring-style discipleship and training up and seeking men for the ministry. You know, as the Lord Jesus Christ built His first church, as He brought that congregation together, as we see Him in the book of Acts at 120, we see that there's an emphasis in the Lord Jesus' earthly ministry in regards to building that first church. And that emphasis was the finding, of course, He did the calling at that point, but the finding of men for the ministry, those who would be leaders, and the training of those men. And so as we go forth, we look to seek to preach the gospel, to see men, see folks saved, disciple, and baptize, and to train men for the ministry that we may truly have a multiplying model as the Lord Jesus lays out for us in the New Testament. And as we come to the end of deputation, as the Lord winds that up for us, maybe possibly in the next year, if it be His will, then we'll look forward to going back to Nova Scotia and becoming deeply involved in our church plant that in Shelburne, Nova Scotia. Our home church currently has a church plant on the go, and we'll look forward to working in that until we train up a man that will be pastor there. And then we'll be prayerfully seeking where the Lord would have us go to next. And as led by the Spirit of God in submission to our church. And we'd be honored if you would grab a prayer card or two and pray for us. Because if the Lord doesn't work for us, then nothing will happen. And so this is, we are just tools. He's the enabler. He's the power. He's the influencer. He's the one that makes things happen that last eternally. Amen. So would you pray for us? And they're in bookmark form, so you can stick them in your Bible. And you know they're stiff, so when you do your devotions every day, your Bible's going to fall open to that, and you'll see us and pray for us. Thank you very much, and God bless.
When a hand came out from nowhere, drifted till I saw the old lifeline, and I thank God He found me just in time. Well, I don't remember drifting, 'cause pleasure rode with me. When careless winds start blowing, they drift so easily, and storms make no exception. But friend, I sure had mine, and I thank God He found me just in time. Just before the waves of slumber had rocked my soul to sleep, just before the angry billows had pulled me out to deep, God knows how long I drifted till I saw
glad He found me just in time. Take your Bible, please. Turn to Matthew chapter number 14. And when you've found it, I know Baptists can't stand till they found it, but when you found it, would you stand? We'll honor the Word of God and read beginning in verse number 22 and down through verse 33. Verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was then alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went in unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid.' And Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water.' And He said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. And he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, 'Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God.'" Brother John, why don't you lead us as we pray?
Gracious Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We just want to say thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you that you have saved those of us that have repented and, Lord, and have grasped by faith your gift of salvation. Lord, I just thank you for my dear friend. He's already been lifted up to you tonight. Lord, we do not lift him up for the sake of his name, but for the sake of thy name. Pray, Father, you touch his lips, Father. this church for the sake of thy name. Lord, we cry with David, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake.
Amen.
Father, you have not just desired to have mercy upon us.
Yeah.
Save us alone.
Yeah.
God, all over this world, tonight in Canada, Lord, in North Dakota, Father, all over this world, Lord, there are souls that need to be saved.
Yeah.
So, Father, we just pray that your mercy would extend to them. We know it is your desire. You're not willing that any should perish. Father, we pray for your truth to go forth. Now, for us tonight in this place, I, in my heart, say, and may we all say, Lord, search us, try us. And we cry with little Samuel, Lord, speak.
Yes.
For thy servant here.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray that we be obedient to whatever you say to our hearts tonight. That we just be malleable and moldable, and not just in our heads, but in our hearts. Hear your word tonight. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I was sitting there thinking while we were getting started, this is my seventh missions revival to preach this year.
Amen.
And we're starting in a very unusual way for a missions conference. I'm really not preaching on, per se, missions tonight. But this sign says everything that's on my heart. And God laid it on my heart, a year ago or so. I called a preacher. He told me, I asked him what his theme was. He said, I think I'm going to have some theme about me. And God began to work in my heart. And I came up with a three-pointer. And it's this: save me, search me, and send me.
Amen.
Now, I know who I'm preaching to tonight. I know that I'm preaching to the church. I know that I'm preaching to save people for the most part. I don't have any doubt there's somebody here that's lost, and there may be several that are lost. But as I considered this message, to me this is the hardest message of all the three. It's easy to talk about searching to save people. It's easy to talk about sending to save people. It's hard to talk about saving to save people. But if you are saved, then your primary concern, I mean the priority of your whole life, ought to be this: that God's will would be done in my life. I realize there's lots of folks going about their own will, but our walking orders is to desire the will of God, to find the will of God, to get in the will of God. And could I say, our Father doesn't mind shaping us and moving us toward His will. If we could get in His will, Brother John prayed about lost people scattered around the world. If we could get in His will, I was reading our mission book. I really hadn't read it. I just flipped through it. And I read that statement by Hudson Taylor that said, God, give us a vision of hell. Help us to see souls who are dying without a Savior, the Savior we know, the Savior who has saved us. Help us to get the vision of souls who need our Savior. If we could get there, that is called missions.
Amen.
And missions does not begin in the church. Mission doesn't begin in Zambia or Canada, but missions begins right here in my heart. Hey, church, if we have no burden for souls, we won't reach souls. If we don't reach souls, we've done no... I don't care how many missionaries we've got on our support list, we haven't done what He said to do to get in His will. I just showed the preacher... I was going to read it to you, but it's a little long. I didn't want to... I just showed the preacher a thing I got on my phone yesterday. I'm very familiar. John's very familiar with a church called Shady Acres Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. It's not a big church. It's not... It's a way far from rich people in that church. The first time I ever went over there, I thought we were going to the ghetto. And... But I got this bulletin on my phone today, a text. Last year, Shady Acres Baptist Church, less than 300 people, poor people, gave $758,000 to missions. They had their mission conference last week, and their promise for this coming year is $891,000. Almost $1 million. I dare say that there's not a big church in this buckle on the Bible Belt that is giving that much to missions. I don't care if they're independent or southern or missionary or whatever you want to call them. But what has happened in Shady Acres is they had a burden. And because of a burden, they responded to the call of God. And now God, hey, you think what $1 million can do on a mission field? Think about how many missionaries that represents. How many souls will be reached in the year with that kind of a budget? So, I want to preach. I thought about those three points. Save me, search me, send me. And Brother Mark, I knew you couldn't stand that. So I'm taking pity on you, and I'm just going to preach on save me tonight. We'll get the other two the next two nights. When you come to this passage of Scripture, if you read or if you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, it appears in three of the Gospels. And it comes right after the feeding of the 5,000. I want to first of all talk about the situation on that stormy sea. Those disciples were not there by preference. Look at this verse. Verse 22 says, "Straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him to the other side." I looked up that word constrain, and it means to force against your own will. Can you see Jesus pushing Peter into the boat? And Peter, no doubt, dragging his feet and running his mouth like he always did. But Jesus had... Hey, they did not want to see Jesus go to the mountain and pray all alone. 5,000 people had been fed, and God had brought the multitudes, and the multitudes were saying, "Let's crown Him and put Him on a throne. Let's have a king in Israel. Let's have someone that'll take us out from this Roman oppression." And those disciples were saying, "Amen." But Jesus said, "I've got a will." And He expresses it in verse 22. "You go before Me to the other side." I'm going up to pray. It's amazing to me that Jesus would need to spend a night alone in prayer. And then there's this situation on the sea. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up the mountain to pray. And when evening was come, he was there all alone. And in the and the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Best I could understand about contrary wind, it's that wind that blows right in your face. And if you read the passage there, I believe over in John it says that there are 25 or 35 furlongs out into the sea. I had to do the geography, Brother Bruce, and that Sea of Galilee is 7.5 miles wide at its widest point, and they're 3.5 miles out in the sea. They're right in the middle of it. And anybody would know if the wind's blowing against you and the storm is blowing, you turn around and go back, right? But Jesus had a will. And they are trying to do His will. I preached at a conference a few years ago. There was a black preacher preached just ahead of me. And he preached something along this, on this line, and he said this verse said that he constrained them to go to the other side. He said, now the way I understand it, there's not but two sides. There's this side and the other side. That's pretty profound when you get to thinking about it. Hey, you're either going to the other side or you're staying on this side. He said, go to the other side. And that black fellow preached a message on that, going to the other side. It'll preach. You're either progressing toward the other side or you're stagnant on this side. If you go to the other side, you ought to understand that verse number 24 is coming. It's not just if I can get there without a storm, but just know the storm is coming. Someone said you're either coming out of a storm or going into a storm, or you're in a storm right now. Hey, if you're saved, the day you got saved, the day you declared yourself, the day you stepped over the line from lost sinner to saved sinner, and you took on yourself the badge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you now belong to Him. You became the enemy of Satan. And this whole world comes against you. He is the prince of the power of the air. Over in Ephesians, he said, put on the whole armor of God and then take your stand, because we come against powers in high places and rulers of darkness. And this world is not our friend. And then every once in a while, God did something like He did to Job and said, have you considered? And backs up and lets Him have His way in a storm. Now, there's a lot of things we could say about the storm. I just want to say a couple things. In this case, let me read you a verse before I get there. Listen to this. He has 12 disciples that He had to constrain to get in the ship to go to the other side. They're not in harmony with His will, though they are saved and want to be in His will. I would say, if just as I've considered this passage, I would say that probably describes 90% of us. People who have a desire to be in His will, people that have been saved, people that are aware of the need to be in His will, but are somehow at cross harmony with the will of God, a good part of our time. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." I wish we could just get in the boat with those disciples for a little bit and understand what it is to be out of the will of God and then to have the joy of coming into the will of God. They're not lost, they're saved. But they're in trouble in a storm for a reason. And so the first, I've got all kinds of outlines on this chapter. I've got God calms the storms by His definite purpose, by His divine presence, by His dynamic power. I've got the outline I gave you. Jesus and now has power to see. If you look over Mark chapter, I believe it's chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible said while He was on the mountain praying, He saw them toiling and rowing. You understand, you in the storm right now, God understands where you are. And He has power to speak, and He has power to support, and He has power to save, and He has power to settle. And so, we could boil this all down to the situation, the storm, and the Savior. That's the simplest outline. I've got a word for every. We're still in the situation. We're moving toward the Savior of the stormy sea. It says Jesus came to them in the fourth watch. Now those Roman soldiers counted watches from. From 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6. And so the fourth watch is somewhere in the hours between 3 and 6. If you've ever, any of y'all ever worked graveyard shift? I did for 10 years. That's the hardest part of the night. That's the darkest part of the night. Hey, you ever wake up at night and you've got all them bugger bears that's going to come and eat you up. I mean, the tax man will eat you up, or you're not going to be able to pay your bills. And everything looks bleak along in those hours. When the sun comes up, everything changes color. And most of that stuff never comes to pass anyway. And you're able to handle it by the grace of God. And have you ever been in a boat in the middle of a storm? I remember a night, early morning light in that fourth watch, I took my little boy. He was about 4 or 5 years old. And we went across the lake and into a grove of trees out there. And we were crappie fishing down around the roots of the trees. And about 10 o'clock, we came out. I had a little putt, about a 5-horse motor on the back of a 14-foot aluminum boat. And I was afraid to leave my little boy up in the front of the boat. He couldn't handle it if he got dumped out of that boat by himself. He had his little old vest on, so I put him back there with me, and that put the bow of the boat up. And we turned around 3 times going across the lake getting back to where we needed to go. It's scary in the storm. It was scary in that storm. I was begging God all the way across that lake, just get us to the other side. Can you imagine at 4 in the morning when you can't see what's coming and there's no weather station you can tune into and all you can do is just thrust yourself against the waves and against the water. That boat is filling, and you have pumped those oars and rowed. Hey, they've rowed now 2.5 to 3.5 miles. You ever row a boat? You ever row against the wind? I mean, 3.5 miles, and the boat is full of water, and those waves are still rolling in, and every wave looks like it's going to turn you under. And those fishermen know that that lake is from 70 to 150 foot deep. And there's no way to make the shore with the kind of wind that there is. You say, what God let that happen for? Well, that's what I was going to tell you. See? Sometimes he comes at an unusual time. Sometimes he comes when we don't expect it. Look at this. And Jesus, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. We got a song in that book somewhere that says, standing somewhere in the shadows you'll find Jesus. He's a friend that will know and understand. Standing somewhere in the shadows there you'll find Him. And you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. In the darkest night, at the darkest time, when you are just ready to throw in the towel. I heard the other day about that guy that had a gun and a rope and a little bit of gas. And he went down to the river. He was going to kill himself. And he doused himself with gas, struck a match, stuck his head in a noose, and swung out over the river, took that gun to shoot himself. He missed, hit the rope, dropped into the water, put the fire out. And about half hour later, he's coming out on the other side, and he said, wow, if I wasn't such a good swimmer, I'd have probably drowned out. You better think it over. There's some times. Hey, Christian. There's some times. When we're right there, it's the fourth watch of the night, the darkest hour of the day. The storm is on and we can't fix it. Sometimes God lets us get there so He can come. So He can come walking on the water. So He can come into our storm when things get the bleakest and the darkest. You ought to look around. He's liable to be there in the dark. He came on the face of the deep. This verse says, He went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. I was thinking about it. If He'd been swimming in the sea, they wouldn't have been afraid. Or if He'd been paddling a boat, they would. But He comes in an unusual way. He comes at an unusual time. He comes in an unexpected way. Susie and I got married. I'd been saved a few years before, but I was living in the world. And I was just pretty content. I had the world by the tail. I was on a downhill pull, and everything was going good. But my girlfriend got under conviction. And she started asking me questions as a newlywed about hell and heaven and how do you get saved. And that little Methodist girl she had never heard the gospel, but God got a hold of her heart.
Amen.
And when He began to deal with her heart, guess who really got under conviction?
Amen.
Who had to come back to God, who had to get it right. Hey, I couldn't tell her how to be saved in the condition I was in, you understand? I had no test. She knew more. She knows more about me than you do, and than you ever will. I mean, she knows the real Wayne Hudson. God got a hold of my heart when she got saved. I'll never forget that night she got saved. I had run as far as I could run. I had to shell out the corn that night. That preacher was in our house, and Jesus showed up that night. And she got saved, but I got right. I'd been way out there, but God got a hold of my heart, and I couldn't stay. I had to get back. I had to get to work. Hey, I wanted to be in fellowship with Him. I didn't want my wife to go to a devil's hell. Hey, if you've got any sense, Christian, you get in the will of God because of those little ones around you. There's some folks around you that you saying, I can sin and get away with it. No, you can't. Hey, I just preached a meeting down in Buffalo, and that preacher's daddy went reprobate on God, and I preached something similar to what I'm doing right now, and he said the next day, he said, Brother Wayne, you should have just stayed on that point. Daddy, you make a decision, and you think it's your decision, and you affect generations to come.
That's right.
You affect those children, those grandchildren. Because you won't get right with God. Because you won't come to the Savior. Because you won't do what Peter did and said, let me come out there. If you would, you might see some long-lasting results in your own family. I don't have any doubt that I'm saved today because of a granddad that prayed. I don't have any doubt that I'm saved today because my grandma read the Bible. I don't have any doubt I'm saved today because mom and dad took me to church and kept me in church. And I saw my dad weep and cry over his boys as he prayed for them. Had an effect on me. So he came in the middle of a storm. You know, Paul had a storm. He called it a thorn in the flesh. When he got all done with it, God said, My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul said, then let me be weak so you can be strong. Hey, what he said was, you come in. You settle my storm. You fix my storm. Whatever you do is okay with me, Lord. We want to give Him direction what we're going to do. I got to go on. Not just the transportation that brings the Savior to us, not just that. But look at verse 26. When the disciples saw Him, they were troubled. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them. Look at this revelation of the Savior. I call it in verse 27. There's three statements he makes. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I mean, there's a statement of peace. In the middle of this storm, he said, be of good cheer. You remember old Paul, Acts 27, when he breaks out the wheat and says, why don't you eat a little something? You haven't ate in days and nights. Won't you eat a little something? God's going to come and bail us off this thing. I've been down there praying, and the angel of the Lord spoke to me. Let's sit down and eat. Let's be of good cheer. Let's be at peace. Hey, we're in a dark day. We're in a dark, stormy day. But hallelujah. He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Thank God the light still shines. The peace that passes all understanding. Over, let me read a verse. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6. He said, who being in the form of... No, that's not it. That's chapter 2. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, not some things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, you'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You buy the best car in town, it won't keep your heart. You live in the biggest house in town, that won't fix your heart. You have the most money in town, it won't help your heart. Every once in a while, one of those jet setters, one of those Hollywood pretty people, blows themselves up or does themselves in with drugs or somehow or another. You know what's happened? They have no peace. Thank God for peace. Thank God for the peace of God that passes all under. And we've got it. It's ours. He brought it. Be of good cheer, he said. Then he said, and not just a message of peace, but here's a message of power. It is I. What he said was what he said to Moses at the burning bush. It's I am. I'm the same yesterday, today, forever. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am, has said. It's I. Hey, you don't have to worry about you. He's here. I was thinking about the other day about I was just 14 or so years old. I was on the hood of a 48 Mercury coupe, and there's no hood ornament on that thing. And the old boy hit a bump, drove me off, and that car ran over me. I could see him sliding his brakes. I just knew he was going to get me. Somehow, by the grace of God, all it did was tear my jeans and bruise my leg. But I remember, here's a big old teenager. I remember laying out there, and they ran up and said, "Are you okay?" You know what I said? I said, "I want my mother." I imagine they're still laughing about that. Do you know why? I knew if I could get to her, it was okay. She would take care of the situation. I thought I was all tore up. I really wasn't tore up. After it was over, I wouldn't have said that in front of them for nothing. But in the heat of the moment, it just came out. Hey, buddy, there's a place somewhere, sometime. There's a place in some storm, somewhere, sometime, when you're going to cry, "Oh, I want you, God. I want you. I want you to be in my storm. I want you to settle my peace. I want your power." It's coming. A message of His power. Then thirdly, He said, "Be not afraid." As I studied this verse, as I studied that little passage, I got the shock. What He literally said was, "You quit being afraid and don't you ever be afraid again." That's what He says, "Be not afraid." That's what He's saying. He said, "You quit fearing right now, and you don't fear again." I just got an email. I've still got it on my phone there. I just got an email from one of our church members up in Burke Burnett. She's been at the cancer center up in Tulsa. And last week they sent her home. She had had some special treatments. They sent her home, and she was expecting to die. I just got it this morning, I guess. I was telling Susie about it. She said, "I had a big old tumor out there that that everybody could see," and said, "It's gone." She said, "I haven't slept on my right side in over a year. And I slept on my right side last night." Amen. She said, I have seen a miracle, and now I believe. Hey, if you could know Him, if you could know His power, if you could know His abilities, we don't have anything to fear. There's no fear. That's what he said, don't be afraid anymore. So there's the Savior of this sea. And then you come down here to the Simon. I'm not quite there yet. On my back porch, as you go out our back door, you can turn right there to the left. There's a thermometer there. A lot of times I step out there in the early morning to see whether I need a coat on or don't need a coat on. That thermometer, if it gets cold, it goes down. If it gets hot, it goes up. It just does whatever the climate tells it to do. I think this house is full of people just like that. Whatever the circumstance is, I float with the circumstances. I mean, there's good times, there's bad times. I'll shout in the good times and I'll murmur and complain in the bad times. Brother Arnold, I got a thermostat from Brother Arnold here a while back. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It's got a little blue light, it's digital. You punch it up, it goes up. If you punch it down, you know what it does? Somewhere back in behind there, there's an invisible hookup to a power source. And that thermostat is different than a thermometer.
Oh yeah.
I mean, when the temperature goes up, that thermostat says, no, sir, buddy, we're not going there. And he puts her back down. He kicks that air conditioner on, does what he needs to do to get it going. When that temperature goes down, he just kicks on the heater and we stay. Hey, there's a difference in a thermometer and a thermostat. My question is, which one are you? There's a boat full of thermometers, if you will, these disciples. They're whimpering and whining and crying and not believing and afraid. And Jesus said, it's I. I love this statement here. Peter answered and said unto the Lord, If it be thou, bid me come out unto thee in the water. Somebody wants to criticize Peter. I want to say, Peter's the only one in the boat that could say that he walked on his storm. He's the only one out of all those. And listen to this. And he said, Jesus said, come. That's the most powerful word in the Bible. Thank God for that day when I heard him say, come. Thank God when that Holy Spirit says, come on. I know I probably over-dramatized this, but can you see Peter? If it's you, bid me come to you. And he just said one word, come. And Peter stuck a leg out over the boat and got wet up to his waist. It's real water. It's a real wave. And about that time, he took a good look at Jesus. And forgot the waves and stepped out. Now, Peter didn't know anything about dynamic of walking on water. I know Jesus does. He's the wave walker. I was trying to think of that song. I don't know how it goes. Brother John, you know it. I know him by name. You know that song? I know the peace maker. I know him by name. There's a song like that. For you uneducated musicians, there's a song like that. He was oblivious of the storm. It was just him and Jesus. You know, the night I got saved, it was that way. I mean, it was just me and him. My whole family was there. We went in that little old room back over there to pray, and half the church tried to crowd in there. I never had such hugging and mugging. 12-year-old boys don't go for that stuff. But it was me and him. They didn't make any marks. There was no. I couldn't tell you who was there, who wasn't there. It was just me and him. It was just Peter and Jesus. And he's walking. You say, how's he doing that? Well, he's got a secret hookup to a power source. He's a thermostat. It's called faith.
Amen.
He trusted the invitation. All he had was one word, come. You know, as you think about it, that's about what we have when we got saved. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you a rest. Come. The invitation to every lost man in this world is come.
Yes, sir.
The admonition to every saved man in this world is go. But we had an invitation to come. And all of a sudden, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And he began to look at the waves. And the wind. And the real wet water. And he began to sink. If we could see it, if we could understand, if we could get Hudson Taylor's message tonight, what is your life? It's even a vapor. It appeared for a little time and it vanishes away. If we went around this room to Robert Allison, or Brother May, or myself, or some of these other, Brother Bob, if we could just say it like we feel it, hey, young person, it's too precious. Don't waste another minute. Jesus is calling, and He'll take you through your life in victory and joy and peace in His power if you'll let Him.
Amen.
Or you can step out on that sea of this world by yourself and test the water for yourself and sink and absolutely drown if He doesn't take you by your hand. It's going by in a hurry. What's your life? It's a vapor. Appeared for a little time. Over there in Jonah, the oldest book in the Bible, said it's like an eagle hasting to the prey. It's like a dream that you wake up and it's over. I mean, your life is nothing. My life is nothing. Oh, Brother Bob, if I could call back some of those years between salvation and now, if I could just call back those wasted days and years and live for Him. It seemed like it was only yesterday. It's over. And the Bible says over in Psalm 32 that in the waves of great... I'm not going to go there, and I can't quote it. But he says, in the waves of great water, you won't find him. Hey, if there's a time to call on him, it's right now. You don't boast not thyself in tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. You know all those verses. Right now is the day. I've heard you in a time accepted in the day of salvation. Have I succored thee? Behold, now is the accepted time, and now is that day. Now, Peter must have thought all them verses out right quick. Because he didn't call on St. Mary, St. George, St. Jude. He didn't say, get the preacher, I need somebody to pray for me. He didn't try to put on his, when my grandson was up at Maranatha, Bible college. They had to wear their tie till classes were over every day. They called it the shackle of righteousness. He didn't have time to put on his religious robes. What he had the time to do was cry out, "Save me!" And the verse says that Jesus reached and took it. She said, "I was going down for the last time, and no one heard my cry, but I thank God He found me just in time." Over in Psalm chapter 40, verse number 1, the Lord had... I'm not there. 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined His ear unto me and heard my cry." It's an amazing thing to me. That night that I sat on the back seat, that I knew I was lost, that hell was my home. That night that I came down the aisle weeping. That night that the preacher couldn't understand what I was telling him. That night when I was looking for God, He heard me. When nobody else could hear me, He heard me. He heard me. He inclined His unto me and He heard my cry. And He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, established my goings. It wasn't just hearing me, but He has given me a walk. Oh, I know. I know sometimes I veer off the track. The preacher says, "Brother Wayne, I want you to go over to Dallas." And somewhere along the way, he calls. "Are you at Dallas yet?" "Well, no, I'm in Cleburne." "Well, how'd you get to Cleburne?" "Well, I don't know. I got lost, and now here I am in Cleburne. But preacher, I'm going to turn around and head toward Dallas." After a while, he calls again. "Brother Wayne, it's been 2 hours. Are you in Dallas yet?" "No, I'm in Denton. But I'm going to turn around and I'm going to head for Dallas." And after a while, he gets to Dallas. That's the way our walk is. It's not where you walked. It's your attitude of heart. Are you willing to be reproved? Are you willing to be corrected? Are you willing to be redirected? He said, "Why did you?" He said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? How come you doubt? Why'd you doubt, Peter?" But he said, "Save me." Listen, and immediately, there's the prayer, here's the person. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand, caught him, and said, He brought him up to His level. Reconciliation is Jesus brings us to His level. And then He said, "Why'd you doubt? I told you to come. I told you it is I." Hey, church, why would we doubt? Hey, if that motley multitude in Houston can give $1 million to a mission, don't you think we can do something for a mission? I mean, same God there, same God here. I'm not trying to compete with them. We can't replicate them. I'm not trying to. I don't want to. But I sure do want us to get a hold of His hand. I sure do want to be brought up to whatever level He wants us to be. I want to walk where He wants me to walk. I want to be all He wants me to be, don't you? Lord, save me. God, help us. This old world, the devil, all the junk that goes on around us. We're so apathetic, so unconcerned. We get so... Over there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "All seek their own and not the things of Christ." Does that describe us? Well, sure it does. 90% of the time that describes us. We live for ourselves and not. Paul said in 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But all seek their own and not the things of God. And so we fiddle our thumbs and sit on the recliner and do our thing at the expense of souls around this world. The disciples could be critical of Peter, but they had to say he walked. They had to say he got a hold. He had Jesus by the hand. And then I wanted you to look at this. I'm having to skip a lot of stuff. I knew I would. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. The peace that passed. Hey, all he did is climb in the ship. Well, if we could get him in our ship. This thing about, I don't know what we can do about missions. We've already done about all we can do for missions. I just don't know. Get him in the ship. Get Jesus in your boat. See what happens. Just seek his presence. Cry out to him. Save me, Lord. Save me from myself. Save me from my unconcern. Save me from those besetting things. Save me from my storm. Save me to yourself. Let me be what you want me to be. Not what Brother Wayne wants or Brother Jim wants or the church wants, but just me and you, Lord. Hold me by my hand and bring me to the level you want me to be. You dare to pray that? Do you dare? Peter dared. Lord, save me. He was fixing to be down there. He wouldn't have been coming back up. He wasn't walking anymore. Been a lot of days I hadn't walked. Been many times I had to say, Lord, save me. So his storm refines the saint, but it reminds the saint. And then it gives us a testimony. And they were coming to the wind, the ship, and the wind ceased. And here's the product. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, this is the Son of God. He's more than a Jewish king. He's more than a bread breaker. He's more than a miracle maker. He is God, of their God. And He can meet our need. He calms the storm by a definite purpose. He said, go to the other side. By His presence, He came into the ship. And by His magnificent person, who He is, He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, our question is, yeah, but what about me? Do I dare get out of the boat? Have I got out of the boat and now I'm sinking? Is the storm on where I am? What do I do? What about me? What about you? I don't want to see your hand. I'm not asking for you to tell me anything. I want you and God to get it settled. Just exactly what about you? It's just you and Him that counts. Let's stand, heads are bowed. Father, I pray, Lord, that you've had your way here tonight. God, I just ask, I pray that the right things were said, the right part of that message was brought clear, and God, that you'd have your way with us. Help us, Lord, not just to float along. Help us, Lord, not just to whimper and whine. But, oh God, help us to take hold of your hand, cry out to you, and find that wave walker in our storm. Please have your way. Please take charge of us. You saw them from the mountain, and you can see us tonight. I ask you, God, that you'd help us to yield ourselves and humble our hearts. And please do in us what you'd like to do. Help us with Peter cry out, Lord, bid me come. Lord, save me. Lord, make a difference in my storm. Please have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Colt.
Hymn 118.
While he's singing and while we're waiting, why don't you just do what God's... What about you? What are you going to do? Would you cry out? Would you take his hand? Do you recognize him? Have you ever been saved? Why don't you do business with him right now?
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord.